Blog Talk Radio.
Locker Talk this morning. How's everyone doing? Thank you for tuning in. Locker Talk on Bastard Pad Radio Network. I'm your host, Barry Barnes, founder, CEO of Locker-Report.com. When you hear about NFL stars for tomorrow, today. So I just wanted to say thank you everyone for joining in. You can shoot me a question anytime on directly on my email to Barry Barnes at Locker-Report.com or on my Twitter feed at Locker_Report or on Facebook at LockReport.com. All right, I hope everyone is well. Thanks for tuning in. Last week, we talked a little bit, you know, about the players that came through the NFL Pro Players Combine, which I attended earlier this year with NFL Front Office, and talked about the 10 players that actually signed the clubs to get their NFL careers started. Again, and hopefully that these guys wish them the best of luck in their return to the NFL. And also talked about a little bit of controversy here in my town in Baltimore, Maryland, with the high school football team with St. Francis. I talked about that in depth last week. I know I will talk about it again later in the season as I'm preparing an article about it. But I will touch up on what was, I would say, the changes that had happened this course of this year. And today's show, I will talk about the top 10 players from the NFL Regional Combine. I put together a top 10 list of players that came through the NFL Regional Combine who we helped to evaluate and scout to help get into the NFL. So, y'all guys, it's a treat. Listen out for those names. You will be surprised at the star players in the league that came through this workout platform where unknown players actually have an opportunity to play in the NFL. But to start off the day, we have a treat. My first live interview with someone on the phone, actually having, someone to come on today. His name is Mr. Ron Ayers. He's a writer for ESPN, True Hoops Network, which is an honor to have someone on there. Although we're not going to talk about the NBA, although it's kind of hard for me to watch LeBron James right now. I don't want to see him lose. But Mr. Ayers actually write for the Carolina Panthers, and we're going to talk some NFL. This is an NFL show. I have Mr. Ayers on. Mr. Ayers, how you doing this morning, sir?
I'm doing all right, man. Thanks for having me on your show, man.
Oh, man, it's an honor. You're the first, so if anyone have a trivia question, the first person to come on this show, make sure you remember Mr. Ronald Ayers coming on the show. So thanks a lot. It's an honor to have you on. But for those who don't know who you are, tell the audience who you are and let them know, your background and how awesome you are and what you do.
Thanks for the awesome compliment. But my name is Ronald Ayers. I work for True Hoops Network, affiliate of ESPN.com. I covered Atlanta Hawks. I mean, you say it's hard looking at LeBron James about to lose. Man, think about looking at the Atlanta Hawks. They're not a very good team at all, and that's just putting it loosely.
Okay.
Also, I was a newscast director for a TV station in Charlotte, which means I pretty much have an ear to the ground when it comes to the Carolina Panthers. Our big thing right now, we change of ownership with the issues with Jerry Richardson, David Tepper taking over. So basically, I'm pretty much a jack of all trades in a sense. I also get on the Bachelor Pad, talk with LA Bachelor about the NBA. Been very busy with that. But soon, probably tonight, the NBA season finale will be over with, and then we'll have to make that transition to OTAs, dealing with the training camps for the Carolina Panthers. So pretty much it'll be a pretty much busy summer for me.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, that sounds familiar. I know what you mean. But like you said, transition to the NFL with OTAs after the NBA season do come to a close, whether tonight or this weekend, but it will come soon. And unfortunately, King James is going to go out as another loser again and coming through for that. But like you said, the Carolina Panthers, OTAs, you know, most of the teams are in full effect with their mandatory workout. So being in Carolina with the Panthers, what are some of the things that you're hearing out of camp that a lot of people do not know about?
Well, right now, let's start with the OTAs in general, because you know with Corey Stringer passing years back from issues of overheating and whatnot and having his heart attack, they NFL does have rules set for these teams when it comes to off season trade. The big one that which is obvious is no more pads. Considering that if we're getting to the dead of summer, and they don't want to have any tragedies that happened back then. Stringer playing for the Minnesota Vikings back then. The NFL really cracked down on the issues with that. The NFL teams are allowed a total of 10 OTA workouts over the course of 3 weeks, a maximum of 3 OTAs per week during the first 2 weeks, unless they want to hold a fourth workout under a stricter phase two policy, which is individual drills only, no offensive versus defensive activities allowed. Like I said, no pads during the OTAs, but they're allowed to wear helmets, as well as protective knee and elbow pads and braces. They are not allowed to wear shoulder pads at any time. If they do, they will be fined. They will get they will be penalized, and they will have workouts taken away from them. I forget which team it was, but somebody did get caught this year.
Mm-hmm.
And
that
mandatory. Yep. So they end up getting caught. So with Harbaugh and those guys. So this is very, very important. This is something that was that the NFL is very, very cracking down on. And minicamp, like I said before, where we get that transition switched over, begins and ends next week. And they will, after a month, the true preseason preparation does begin. So the Carolina Panthers, in a sense, with them being 11-5, they were good, but they were just wildly inconsistent. And when I see the Carolina Panthers, I see Cam Newton all the time. And I've criticized the Carolina Panthers for their lack of diversity, in a sense, with their playbook. David Shula, who was basically kind of fell into the job right after Chizinski left the Carolina Panthers to coach the Cleveland Browns for a week. I just don't like the fact that they're really not getting the best out of Cam Newton in the sense of him taking that next step, in a sense of the Peyton Manning running the playbook or the Tom Brady dealing with their playbook. In other words, that he has to get to the point of efficiency in a sense. He is just spent depending so much on his physical talents in a sense that his passing is not at the level that it should be at this time. So with Norv Turner coming in at 66 years old, for fans that do not know, the Dallas Cowboys, when they were a dynasty with Jimmy Johnson and Michael Irvin, Troy Aikman, and Emmitt Smith, your offensive coordinator was Norv Turner.
Right.
And I feel that with Cam Newton under Norv Turner, I think he could take that next level. And they now are starting to getting a little bit of talent around him that he doesn't have to lead the team in rushing. Barry, do you understand how irritating it is to see Cam Newton lead the team in rushing every year? It's not even close. I mean, you pay the running backs to run the football. Jonathan Stewart would have about, 400 yards rushing.
Right.
Granted, he's always hurt, but he 300-400 yards. But then you watch Cam Newton. You look at Cam Newton; he has 700-800 yards. I get on so many radio shows and podcasts and have this intense debate with the host and guests over the fact that, well, Cam Newton's taking too many unnecessary shots. Okay, that's fine with the defense, but you're not doing it, but the Carolina Panthers are not giving him, doing him any service, and they're not helping him out by putting him in these positions to get hit by the defense. So with North Turner bringing him in and bringing in a playbook that'll be make him a little bit more efficient and maybe coach him up to be a more accurate passer, quicker timing routes, maybe the Carolina Panthers can get back to the Super Bowl.
Well, one thing you won't have on this show is that, and you have a debate about that situation, because that's how I feel about the Cam Newton situation. And about 5 minutes, we go on break, and I'll probably just keep you on for the rest of the show, another 30 minutes. I know I'm going to enjoy this conversation with you. For those who don't know who Corey Stringer is, he was drafted by the Vikings, first-round draft pick, 24th overall in the 95 draft. And in 2000, during the heat conditions, the way how the practices were at that time, he passed away from heat exhaustion. So that's what Mr. Adrian was talking about while referring to. He was a very talented offensive lineman who the Vikings had brought in. And unfortunately, you know, he lost his life at a young age. But when you look at the Panthers, and I don't want the Cam Newton situation to be like a Joe Flacco situation here in Baltimore, where they never brought anyone in until this year, Lamar Jackson, to challenge Flacco, to make Flacco work more in the passing game, to make him work more in his craft. And I know the Panthers, you know, Derek Anderson was there for a while, you know, he was very serviceable, you know, backup quarterback. I know they had Webb. They did an experiment with him at Joe Webb at one time before. But the thing is with Cam Newton, that makes him a little bit in the situation where he's at now, knowing that they're trying to bring guys in to try to compete with him. They know that he's a franchise quarterback. But with North Turner coming in right now and knowing how Cam Newton has been playing, the time is going to be perfect. But my issue is with the Panthers is that when you look at the receivers they brought in, you know, Torrey Smith, you know, DJ Moore, they're bringing in guys that can catch the ball deep and can spread the field. But what Cam Newton needs the most, he needs some slot receivers. He needs some receivers that will get open quick and have those little intermediate type of passes that will help him get the ball out his hand to make the defense be on their heels a little bit more. To make the defense recognize that, okay, he's not going to run, he's going to try to throw. They have to find some way to make him a throwing threat. Do he need to be a little bit more consistent in his throws? Yes, but has he gotten better? He has. Only thing is different is that the consistency of the players that's around him does not fit his skill set and what they need for him to advance. And with North Turner coming in, hopefully they find some way, you know, to get – Jarius Wright, who just came in from the Vikings. Hopefully they can find some way to use him a little bit more in this system so that he can be able to get the ball in his hand and catch those little short passes, because with the game being much faster, and when you look at the top-notch quarterbacks in the league with the Aaron Rodgers, when you look at Tom Brady, when you look at these guys, they're able to get these balls out, you know, or Drew Brees, they're able to get the ball out quicker because they have guys that can come back to the quarterback, catch those short passes to sustain more drives instead of leaving all the options for Cam Newton to either make plays with his legs or always try to go for a deep ball, because that's the part that's going to always hinder him. But before we go into break, I do want to ask you this, you know, quick question. With the acclimations, the players they did bring in, do you see that these guys can find some way? What can they do different compared to last year, although they was a playoff team? But what's some of the things that you think that the new skill set of the players they have brought in, especially on the defense side of the ball, what do you think some kind of change they can make going into the 2018 campaign?
Well, one thing that they have shored up is the secondary. I mean, the secondary was atrocious. And the big thing with the defense, and I think a lot of people don't understand, is Luke Kuechly and his concussion problems. This is going to be a major problem. I think he's sitting on his fourth concussion in recent memory.
Right.
And a friend of mine at the TV station I work with, Nate Wimberly, he was talking about we were talking about it, and there was an old linebacker named Mike Morgan, if you remember him. inside linebacker, and he had so many concussions that he had to retire early. Now, I think the fans that are not too familiar to the Carolina Panthers, Luke Kuechly is pretty much one of the most dominant young linebackers in recent memory.
We're getting to the point of Lawrence Taylor. Let me go to a quick 30-second break, and we'll come right back. Hold your thought, and we'll come right back after this short break.
Tune in every Tuesday to Empowering Moments with T.T. Jedkins. The show touches on topics of race, culture, politics, and religion, and great guests. Listen every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Time, exclusive on blogtalkradio.com and the podcast at thebachelorpadnetwork.com.
Welcome back to Locker Talk. I'm your host, Barry Barnes, founder and CEO of Locker-Report.com. You're listening to the Bachelor Pad Radio Network. Today, my guest, NBA writer of True Hoops and also Carolina Panthers reporter, Mr. Ronald Ager, on the phone with me right now, talking about the Carolina Panthers in 2018 season. Mr. Ager was just talking about Luke Kuechly and his concussion situations and how he is as a linebacker for the Carolina Panthers. So, Ms. Aza, thanks for returning, and let's continue finishing what you were saying.
Yeah, with his concussion issues and whatnot, that's going to be a major issue. Because with Kuechly in the lineup, that front seven is very, very formidable. It's very, very difficult to stop. And with Shaq Thompson, they brought him in. But it was painfully obvious that that the secondary really struggled with Josh Norman being shipped out, and he's now starring in Washington Redskins. I never liked the way they handled Norman in the way he left. Don't release him and get nothing out for him. What you need
right.
to do. Hey, you put the franchise tag on him. You put the franchise tag on him. If you're not going to sign him, fine, no problems. Go ahead and make a move. Try to obtain some assets. Gettleman, in a sense, said when he was the GM at the time, said, "Hey, I found Josh Norman. I developed him up and everything. So guess what? We can go get somebody else." They bring Bradberry in, good cornerback, but he ain't no Josh Norman. So guess what? They struggled. They bring in Captain Munnerlin, bring him back from Minnesota after 3 years because he started the first 5 years in Carolina. He ended up struggling big time, right along with a lot of other secondaries. And they got toasted by Julio Jones 1 week. And basically around the year, they could not guard. They really couldn't cover anybody. So bringing Munnerlin in and bringing in and hopefully under the new defensive coordinator, Eric Washington, he'll get a little bit better, but they drafted a lot of cornerbacks and safeties, bringing in like we said DJ Moore. Hopefully, for them to get better, it's got to be in that secondary because they are very, very weak there. Everybody knew they were weak, and they just torched those cornerbacks time and time and time again. Bringing in cornerback Lorenzo Dawes from the Titans,
right.
They say he's done well in the OTAs as well. Three straight intercepted a pass in three straight practices at one point during the OTAs.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the low end of the roster, but like you were saying, pushing the veterans ahead of them, raising the level and the standards of the secondary. That is very, very important for the defense for the Carolina Panthers to do well this season.
Absolutely. Last year's numbers, when you look on the defense side of the ball, I would say the numbers are not horrendous, but I'm going to tell you the part that actually stood out. When you look on the defense, they was third in stopping the run, 88 yards, seventh in the league, in total points scored. Over total yards allowed at 317, 11 in points allowed with 20 points a game. But that secondary, the part that you – absolutely was about, and was talking about, spot on. They finished 18th in the league last year, allowing 229 yards per game. And the thing is with the Panthers, it's situational. In situations, that's the part where they always screwed up at. And that's where you need to have that veteran leadership with someone in the secondary or the front line to help sustain that. Now, I noticed that during pre-agency, they went out and got guys like Dartez Pope, who's a solid interior guy, brought back Jurius Peppers for his veteran savvy. Now, I like the signing they have with Ross Corwell, the cornerback they brought in for from the Giants. You know, unfortunately, Breland, who came from the Washington Redskins, felt as physical because he would have been, you know, an okay asset. He's not someone that would cover number one, but he would have been good for someone on the slot or taking on your second receiver. You know, but with bringing Corwell inside, you know, who have good hands, you know, could put a lot of pressure. I think they actually made up, you know, for their signing. It looks as if the Panthers, with their signings this year to help out their secondary, it looked like they got more interior help to get more pressure on the quarterback. Now, this division is a wide-open division. Anyone can win it, you know, pretty much any year. You know, outside of Tampa Bay, as they're still trying to get through their struggles. But it looks as if they went interior to put more pressure on the quarterback to help with the secondary as the secondary try to get themselves, you know, under control. Now, when you look at their schedule this year, they're going to go up against the AFC North. So they're going to go up against a physical division this year. And knowing that their division is pretty much wide open because anyone can win in that division. Knowing that early in their, if you look at their schedule, early in their schedule they're going to be on the road the most. Towards the end of the season, they're going to be at home. And they do have to play the Saints, you know, twice in December. When you look at their schedule and when you look at the signings they have brought in, do you think they brought in the right pieces to help this team to be able to do well against this schedule for this season?
I think they have, but I think my issue with the Carolina Panthers is going to be execution, and it's going to have to be and it's going to start with Cam Newton. Cam Newton is going to have to buy in, and I mean buy in early to North Turner's philosophies. He's going to have to trust the receivers that they brought in. They're going to have to trust the Torrey Smith. You're going to have to do. He's going to have to be very clear and very disciplined in the sense of not being blind in one eye and Greg Olsen in the other. Because any good football team, you got the Pittsburgh Steelers and in the AFC North, which is very, very difficult in a sense. And we talk about the AFC North, you're playing the Saints who have gotten better. The Atlanta Falcons, they're already there. These are five teams off the top that are very losable games for the Carolina Panthers, in my opinion. It's going to depend on Cam Newton being disciplined, dealing with what he has to do because he is the focal point of the offense, and they're going to have to score points this year. At times, the Carolina Panthers struggle to score. We know that Philadelphia 76ers, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they score a lot with Roethlisberger. They don't have problems not scoring. The Saints as well. They don't have problems scoring. They play Dallas early in the week. You notice they don't have problems scoring as well. The Giants, they can score, and they play the world champion Philadelphia 76ers again. Eagles, these teams are high-scoring teams. So, in a sense, we already talked about that secondary, but it's about Cam Newton. Cam Newton, in a sense, he struggles with his footwork. He has flaws in his game that he's going to have to take care of really, really quick. Because making these timing routes, if his stuff is not on point, if he's not planting his foot the way he's supposed to, instead of just slinging the ball, trying to use his arm strength to get the ball to the receivers, he tends to make a lot of mistakes. So looking into this season, they were 11-5, but they could easily be 7-9 or 6-10 this year if they get out of the gate slowly. And it's been done time off and on, alternating years for the last few years up until recently. It could happen. They could be 6-10, 7-9, and this is not a good idea. This is not a good time to be coming out of the gate slow, especially with new ownership coming in to replace Jerry Richardson.
Right, exactly. I definitely understand that. You're absolutely right. You're listening to Mr. Ronald Ager, who covers ESPN True Hoops, and also he covers the Carolina Panthers. This is more of a personal question for me. Since working with NFL football operations and knowing what they were doing to international players with the International Pathway Players Program, how they bring in international players from the UK to be a project for a transition from rugby to whatever sport they played to transition to NFL players. Last year they started the program for players. The NFC South was the pilot division, and they had a foreign player that was on that team. They were the only four teams that were allowed to have 11 practice squad players, and y'all guys have one player there with Ebayway. In your opinion, last year they had to be on special teams. I mean, they had to be on the practice squad. This year they have the opportunity to make the squad. He's a defensive end, very fast, very agile, 6'5". Knowing that the Panthers have a lot of depth on that defensive line, if you've seen him, you know, practice or if you saw him on the field, do you think he may have a chance in making the squad this year?
I don't think so. All right, to be totally honest with you, I don't think so. That front seven is huge. I mean, that's pretty much the crown jewel of the Carolina Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck to him. Let's just be clear on that, in a sense. But that defense is so solid, and this is a Gettleman thing. Gettleman made sure that the identity was set on that defensive end, being strong, being fast, and with Peppers that we mentioned before, and that linebacking core, which is pretty much the best in the National Football League, with Kuechly being healthy, the depth charge is so huge in a sense that I don't think at this time they need a defensive lineman. But hopefully I'm wrong. For his sake, hopefully I'm wrong, but I don't think they need him at this point in time. What they need is secondary. They need offensive line help to make sure Cam Newton is getting his backside is protected. Moten is the guy that they brought in for that. But right now, to be totally honest, in my opinion, I don't think he has a chance. But in a sense, I think when people think about the practice squads, it's not about making that team. When you get on the practice squad, if you play well and the NFL is only that big, it just takes one phone call. If you play well on a practice squad, you can get picked off the practice squad from the Carolina Panthers. The Giants may pick you up, or Tampa Bay, or Atlanta, or the LA Chargers, or the Oakland Raiders, in a sense. So just because the Carolina Panthers don't need him and he's on the practice squad does not mean he doesn't have a chance to make it in the National Football League.
Right, yeah, absolutely right. And what Mr. Ager is basically saying, that when you're on the practice squad, you're still like a free agent. You know, a team, any one of the 31 teams in the league, if they want to bring you on, they can. And knowing that this particular program that he's in, he should be in that situation where he can be pulled or be snatched, you know, from the Panthers if he do not make that squad. When I looked at all the signings and I'm seeing what, you know, moves they're making, you know, to help the secondary by getting to the quarterback, when I looked at that roster, I said, okay, it's going to be a tough hill for him, because one of the things that I know personally, watching the international players, watching the players from the UK, they are physical specimens. They're very athletic. They have everything you want in the, you know, far as with a professional athlete. The only thing is that they have to learn is the movement of the game, because the movement of NFL football compared to rugby is a lot different. You know, you still have to be able to be fluent with the extra 35 pounds of weight that you're carrying on with the helmet and pads. So that transition for a lot of those players, the one that normally gives them a hard way to go. But with Ebakaway, the thing is that helps him out is that he's been in the league before. He's familiar with it. So hopefully after last year's trial being on the practice squad, he'll find another spot if he does not meet the Panthers roster. Thanks a lot for listening. This is Locker Talk host Barry Barnes, founder, CEO of Locker-Report.com. We had an honored guest here today. The first guest on the show, Mr. Ronald Ager from True Hoops for ESPN, who also cover the Carolina Panthers. Mr. Ager, thank you so much for coming in on the show today. And I'd love to have you on the show, especially when you get closer to training camps or sometime during the season. And also, I just want to say thanks a lot for coming on. And I definitely appreciate, you know, your expertise this morning that you had brought.
Oh, no problem, man. Anytime, man. Open invitation. All you got to do is just give me a call. I'll be right there for you, man.
That sounds good. As a matter of fact, you know, I'll just give a shout-out to L.A. I know he'll make it happen for me. And if I'm a seaman, L.A. probably ready to jump in any minute now.
Hey, look, Ronald, leave it to Ronald to be your first guest, live guest on Locker Talk. Ronald Azus, that's my man. And sorry we got cut off last night, Ronald.
No problem, man. It was a great debate last night. Great debate last night.
Oh, always, especially when you bring it in like that. Just real quick about the Panthers and the NFL in general, you talked about the OTAs and the dangers that they're trying to put in place. The only thing I'm concerned about, guys, real quick, and then I'll let you go. I know you, especially Barry, got to go, is if they're going to be so concerned about people passing out, there's still a lot of concern about they're not going in depth about concussions. Ronald mentioned, you know, Kuechly with all the concussions he's had. He's not the only guy on that team, let alone the NFL. So is the NFL looking to go further to appease the players and the fans, some fans that are concerned, former players that are concerned about those head injuries, Barry?
Well, one thing I know for sure, and I don't want to give too much to the company that's working close with operations right now, but they actually trying to develop the helmet and make it more, I mean, I'm not going to say concussion proof because it is football. It's going to happen. It's a risk that's a part of the game. Now, are they going to do everything they can to minimize it? Absolutely. So the helmet is one of the things they're working on now. They're working with a company to try to minimize as much as possible so that the head won't shake or the vibration won't allow the brain to shake to hit up the skull of someone's head. That's where the concussion part comes at. And also with all the stadiums, I believe they all pretty much have now, they actually have another surface underneath all the turfs in the NFL to make the ground that's a little softer so far as the impact, because majority of the concussions don't necessarily come from a helmet to helmet. A lot of the concussions actually happens when the head hits the ground and when the head shakes and bounce will cause the brain to rattle with inside their head. And so they recognize they have to put some kind of padding underneath the surface of all the stadiums in the league so that it can minimize that pressure of concussions from those hits. So it's one of the things they definitely taking, you know, very serious. As a fan, you hate to see your best player have to be taken off the field because of concussion, but because of the knowledge and there's still ongoing tests of the concussions, which is something they still, you know, they've been working on since, you know, other sports since the 20s. You look at it with boxing. You know, it's still one of those evils that they know they cannot eliminate, but as far as eliminating it and then to have your favorite player, an important player, to be taken out of the game because concussions are serious, and they have to do that for the betterment of that player and that player's family. They take them out of the game. And although it's tough to watch, and I know it's tough on the fans, but they're doing the right thing by doing that. So that's one way. Another way of showing the seriousness, despite who they are, to take that person off the field so that person would not have no long-term effect.
Well, I know you know Jeremiah Short. Brother Jeremiah was on with us a couple of days ago, and his theory was, you know, these new players coming in, you know what you're getting into. Which,
yeah,
you know, I can agree to a certain extent, guys, but that's also like teachers knowing you're going to get low pay, but you go teach anyway. I mean, that's not, in other words, that's not a remedy for it. If all the players decided not to go from college and play in the NFL, it wouldn't be any NFL. If that's the case, if new players come in, I won't say it doesn't make any sense. I'm just saying it's not an answer.
Right.
Yeah, but I will say this, L.A., I honestly, and I've answered these questions a lot over the last couple of 18 months, couple of years, I don't know if there's anything the NFL can do. I don't know if there is any way to eradicate this issue, and I'm going to tell you why. The players are getting stronger. The players are getting faster. And Jerome Bettis said this once on a documentary that I watched. It's like getting in a car accident. When you're running into that line and getting hit, you get up, go back to the huddle, and then you go back and have that same car accident again. Now, that was way back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And now it is a job for these football players to stay in tip-top shape, to get in the weight room. Now, I mean, we all talk about those OTAs in a sense of protecting the players and things like that. But let's be clear, they still work out in the off season. They still make sure that they're in tip-top shape going into the season, into the OTAs. Why? Because you can get fined or you could lose your spot. Always remember that contracts are not guaranteed. And the NFL knows this in a sense. Now, granted, like Barry said, we don't have Veterans Stadium anymore where you're playing on hardwood floors and getting when you get tackled, you basically get injuries like Michael Irvin did, which ended his career in a sense. But it's like I hear a statement. I'm thinking of a statement like this. I hear it in Superman. It's fourth down. We're deep in our own territory, and it's 2 minutes on the clock. I don't see – this is a epidemic that there's no answer for. In other words, when you want to make a decision – when you want to make a goal without a plan ain't nothing but a wish. But I don't think we even know where the first step is to stop it. The helmets, in a sense, will help. But like you were saying earlier – my man said earlier this week that – you're right, they know what they're signing themselves up for, because forget the National Football League. They start in Little League, then they go on to high school, then they go on to college, and all of these hits are adding up over time. So you throw that in, plus you go into the National Football League where these guys are running literally 25, maybe 35 miles per hour with the speed and the impact that they're coming at you with for game after game after game, year after year, it's going to have wear and tear on the body. We just lost Dwight Clark from ALS, literally, this year, a Charlotte native. He doesn't know if football had anything to do with the speed of ALS. Watching him in a wheelchair, leaned over like he's 97 years old, and he only died at 61, was scary, and it was shocking to me. One of his last pictures on social media. So, in a sense, we don't know what can happen with this concussion thing. I mean, we could all talk about it. In the NFL right now, in a sense, if they're doing all these studies and they're doing all these tests, let's be clear. The National Football League is trying to stay out of the courtroom. That's why they threw that little $700-800 million settlement out. They can make that back in. They can make that back in the first 30 seconds of an NFL football game to start the season. That's no money to them. So what they're trying to do, the NFL is the NFL. They're trying to make sure that the money train is still going. It stays on the track.
Right.
But
well, we're
going to
leave it there. We're gonna leave. We got to leave it there. And I'm actually, I'll have you guys both on next week to really go into this, because I'm not saying that there is a complete answer, but I am saying that more should be done. You'll never stop concussions as long as you play. In a sense, it's ironic that Jerome Bettis said that some years ago, the same Jerome Bettis who could barely walk up and down the stairs in his house. So he knows, and that's really the reality of the game. It's a violent game. They're underpaid in the sense that they're not guaranteed contracts. We love it. And it's just a debate that's going to go on. Let me run Barry Barnes, of course, you can listen to his show. It's called Locker Talk. Comes on at 9 a.m. Barry, let folks know how they can reach out to you. I saw some emails. Reach out to you with questions and comments.
Yes, you can always email me directly, barrybarnes@locker-report.com, or on Twitter, locker_report, or on Facebook at locker-report.com. And also hit me on Instagram at lockreport100.
Yeah, you all over the place, and I appreciate you. Ronald, let folks know how they can reach out to you before we go.
Sports World Order, S-P-O-R-T, World Order. Ronald Eggers at yahoo.com. You can get on my Facebook page, Ronald Eggers. Answer those emails. I will answer your emails. If you have any questions or concerns, I will answer them, and I will answer them honestly. So I entertain, and I also like to educate.
Brothers, I appreciate you. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk next week.
Hey, look forward
all
to
right,
it, guys. Thanks a lot, guys. Have
Thank
a good
you.
Weekend. Be blessed.
Take a 30-second break. Come back on the pad.
Hey there, this is L.A. Bachelor, host of the Bachelor Pad show from the Bachelor Pad Network, inviting you to tune in on Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, for the Donaldson File with your host Tom Donaldson and Coco Cosney. They bring politics and other perspectives from the left and from the right. The Donaldson Files every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network.
Stay with me, dear. T-Mac, your thoughts, I mean, you know, having...
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day. There is no sunshine, nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day, but where are my blue skies? Where is the love and the joy that you promised to tell me it's alright?
I'll be honest with you,
I almost gave up, but a power that
how much better I'm gonna be when this is over.
I smile, even though I hurt, see I smile. I know God is working, so I smile. Even though I've been here for a while,
what you do?
I smile.
Come on and
smile. It's so hard to look up when you get down. Show would hate to see you give up now.
God's people.
richest in the world. You will forever be my girl.
waited like a fool. Now who's been changing you?
Ha ha ha! you know this is where I'll be. I can say to the world.